please take your Bible and turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. If you remember, we've been going through the book of Acts for some time now. Just give you a quick reminder of Acts is the early history, the early church. Remember Acts chapter 1, you can remember that by the sun. As the sun rises in the morning, so the Son of God rose after walking 40 days after his death, burial, and resurrection. And so Acts 1 is sun. Acts 2 is dew, as the dew falls on the ground, so the Holy Spirit falls on believers, and the church has started. Acts chapter 3 is knee. Remember the lame man was healed and gave it a opportunity for witnessing. Acts chapter 4, the people that tried to persecute, tried to close the door on the church, but that failed. Acts chapter 5 is dive. Ananias and Sapphira dove in the grave because of their wickedness and their pride. Acts chapter 6 is sticks. They drew sticks or drew the short sticks for the new deacons, we may say. Acts chapter 7, last week was about heaven. Stephen died. He looked up and saw heaven, and that's where he is. Acts chapter 8 will be about the chariot gate. And so Philip is going to enter to the chariot with a eunuch, and Philip's going to witness, and what a great time of testimony that will be. Well, you have your Bibles, and take some time, and let's read the Word of God together. I want to back up to chapter 7, verse 59, just to kind of give you context. And it says, "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not the sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Chapter 8 says, "And Saul consenting unto this death, and that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And the devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down into the city of Samaria and preached Christ in them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For the unclean spirits, crying out with loud voices, came out of the many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy, and they that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." Let's stop there and pray. Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us direction and hope and gives us that past examples of faithful people. So, Lord, today we just pray that we too would see these things, that we'd act upon them, that we'd recognize you called us to be a people of obedience as well, and that through our obedience to you, that you would change us and change the world around us. Let us live in such a way that all may know that Christ is risen indeed, that he is Lord of all, and that we may simply preach and proclaim him, and he would change the world. Thank you, Lord, for all these things. Thank you, Lord, for your promise that when your word is read and when I come back void, we ask all this now in Jesus' name, amen. I heard about a young lady, an attractive young lady, wanted to buy some material for a dress. As she goes to the fabric department, she says, "I need this material. How much is this material?" Well, the young man behind the counter sees her and says, laughingly or kind of smirkingly, he says, "Just one kiss per yard." She said, "Fine, I'll take 10 yards. He gets excited. He runs and he cuts the material with great anticipation. He wraps it up, brings it, leans back over to receive his payment. And she snatches out his hand, turns and says, "Grandma said she would gladly pay the bill." Sometimes in life, things don't go exactly as you planned. And I think we see the early church in that same place. Sometimes there's twists and turns, things that catch us off guard. And I'm telling you, chapter 8 is a great example. And we find that things are not always perfect in life, but God is able to use those things to bring honor and glory. And it all goes back to this idea, will we be obedient? Will we be faithful? Will we follow the will of God? You've seen that in chapter 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 4 and 5 and 6 and 7. And now in 8, we'll find people that are obedient to the call of God. Last week I made this statement that faith produces faithfulness. And hopefully that will be a theme in all of our lives, that we'll be a people of faith living faithfully for the call of God. Here's the first thing I'd like for you to see in this chapter. First is the obedience of the servant. The obedience of the servant. Again, the servants of Christ were called to share the good news. And we find over and over there's going to be the preaching of the gospel. And I'm telling you, in every kind of situation, we recognize that we must, too, bring that same gospel wherever we go to those around us. We must obey God rather than men when it comes to sharing these things about the Lord. I'm reminded of Acts chapter 5. That's what Peter said when they told him to preach no more. He said we should obey God rather than men. So let me just ask you, are you willing to simply do that? And you said, well, I need something to help me get started. Well, notice this first point. There's the divine appointments that were scheduled. I truly believe that God lines us up to be a people that share our faith. He lines us up to be the light of the world. And so we find again the divine appointments that were scheduled. Now, I know there's going to be a lot of different things that happen in these particular passages, but really, all of them line us up to be a people that are faithful to declare the goodness of God. Sometimes in our life, our appointments come by persecution or hard circumstances. Sometimes they come by situations that are not good. And so when you read verse 1 again, it says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church." Now, I'm sure they had the Christians there, had all kind of thoughts of why this happening. I'm sure they just recognized and said to themselves, "Hey, I just surrendered to Christ, and why now is my life being turned upside down?" Well, let me just tell you, there's a clear pattern. It all really goes back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Let me read that. It says, and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. And every time Acts 1, 8 takes place, then chapter 8, verse 1 takes place. When you witness, there will be persecution. And so let me read that a word again. Great persecution came against the church. And so, yes, you will have issues in life when it comes to sharing your faith. You will have issues in life in general. We recognize that. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, "And these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And so we know bad things take place. Sometimes, let me just kind of clear this up, sometimes bad things take place because of our choices, and so sometimes we as believers get the chastisement of the Lord. We do wrong. God chastises, like it says in Hebrews, and brings us to a point of straightening us up. Sometimes bad things happen just because we live in this fallen world. There is death and destruction that always takes place daily. We recognize that. But then sometimes we find that Satan is after us, and so this power is against us. But in the midst of our trials, there's always an opportunity to be found faithful and to share our life and tell others what Christ is doing for us. And this is exactly what happens to the early church. When you read chapter 8, verse 4, it says, "Therefore they were scattered abroad everywhere. They were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word." In other words, when persecution hits, they just began to go every place sharing the good news about Christ. Christians being driven from Jerusalem, they went on their way. Can you imagine their plight as they leave their homeland, they leave their houses, and they go to all these places? Sooner or later, the conversation gets brought up. "What are you doing here?" "Well, I'm a believer. I'm being persecuted. But let me tell you about Jesus, and let me tell you why all this is worthwhile." Again, nobody likes hard circumstances. But know this. God's word is true, and it says that in Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Though persecution takes place in their life, they use it for good. And though we have persecution or hard times in our life, we can use it for good ourselves. I'm reminded some years back, probably 10 or 15 years ago, somebody I really care about, they were very sick, had to go to the hospital, and we would begin to visit them, and I was really worried about them, and they didn't want to be sick, but in the midst of that hospital stay, they began to witness to some of the nurses. They began to share their faith. And here's what this man said: "I began to realize while my sickness was not good, it could be used for good for the glory of God." In every circumstance and situation we can find ourselves in, we can be found faithful to use it for the glory of God. So let me ask you, what circumstances do you find yourself in that seem to be difficult right now? What kind of hardships do you have in your life that try to overwhelm you? Can I say that God is able to use those, if you'll let Him, to do mighty things in your life? Notice, Philip did this. Verse 5 says this, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." Now, if you remember Philip began his ministry as one of the chosen guys to be deacons to serve tables in Acts chapter 6. He was a lowly table server. He was the guy that was willing to do the lowest job. And yet God chose him, just like he did Stephen in chapter 7, to simply preach the gospel. So I'm telling you, you can be used as well. And so because of his going, things will do great in the lives of others. Matter of fact, when you read verse 6, it says, "And the people gave with one accord great heed those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." Verse 7 says, "For unclean spirits, crying out with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many take with palsies that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city." Because of this going, we're going to see a lot of things take place. Matter of fact, verse 13, this Simon that was a sorcerer made a statement of faith. And then in verse 14, the apostles hear about Samaria, and they come down and share the gospel. Then by the time we get to verse 25, the apostles are now preaching their way back to Jerusalem. And so multitudes of people hear the word of God because of the willingness and obedience for this man named Philip to simply go and do, even in times of persecution. So sometimes our divine appointments come by circumstances or persecution, but sometimes our divine appointments come by a clear call of God. Not just hard circumstances, but a clear call of God. Turn to verse 26. Philip's been preaching and he's doing all these things. But now, verse 26 says, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go down toward the south into a way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert." There's going to be a clear call that we recognize to Philip to simply be faithful. Now, let me remind you, that's not always the case in our lives. Sometimes God calls us but doesn't give us a clear call. I'm reminded about Abraham. If you remember, Abraham was called. He didn't know really the way to go. He just went out by faith. Hebrews 11, verse 8 says, "By faith Abram, when he was called to go out to a place which he received for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went." In other words, God's called him, and he's just, "Lord, I don't know where you're calling me to, but I'm willing to go." So he steps out by faith. I'm kind of reminded that when I went to Bible school or Bible college, that I knew exactly what God was calling me. I knew from day one when God called me, I was to be a pastor. I had no doubts. It was clear, as clear could be. I understood that. I can remember exactly where it was. And he did that time and time again. Matter of fact, the last time he called me to do that, I was riding a lawnmower in Trenton. And I said, "Yes, Lord, I will," because I knew if I didn't, I may not ever ride a lawnmower or anything else again. I just had a clear call. But while going to Bible college, I recognized there was a lot of people there that felt the calling of God but knew not where they were supposed to go. And so we find that sometimes we don't know exactly, but we need to be obedient. Philip's call is very clear. Matter of fact, verse 26 says, "And again, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip." There's going to be a clear direction. He'll say, "Go south." A clear destination, "Go to Gaza." And you may be thinking, "Well, I wish the Spirit, or I wish an angel would speak to me." Well, by the verse 29, we'll find that the angel no longer speaks, but the Spirit of God does. And let me just tell you, in your life, you may not have an angel, but I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer, He calls you to go. He calls you to speak. He calls you to obey. He calls you to simply be found faithful. The Spirit will take over sooner or later. So the question is, why don't we hear the Spirit? Why don't we hear the call? Let me give you a few possibilities. Sometimes we don't hear because we're too busy. That's why the psalmist said in Psalms 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes we don't hear because we think our way is right instead of God's. Can you see Philip? Like, why go to Gaza? Man, Lord, we're having a revival here. Man, these people are getting saved. People are getting healed. Man, we're in a good place. It's exciting, Lord. Why go to Gaza? Second question, why go through the desert? Lord, I know a shortcut. Anybody ever had a shortcut around? God said, go here, and you said, well, I'm going to go this way. Lord, that's not right. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Sometimes we don't hear because we listen to our own selves. Matter of fact, I can just imagine him seeing that Ethiopian eunuch and just saying, Lord, that's a rich man. He doesn't need me to help him. But the call would come back. He doesn't need clothes or chariots. He needs Christ. But Lord, he's a ruler. And the call would come back. He doesn't need authority, but he needs the Almighty. But Lord, he's a different race. He doesn't need to be the same. The call would come back. He needs a Savior. But Lord, he's religious. He doesn't need religion. He needs a relationship with the Lord. I wonder, will we listen to the call of God and get rid of our own voices and listen to him? Sometimes we don't obey because we're prideful. We have a path instead of God's path. I have a good friend, or used to be a good friend, when I went to, again, in Bible college, and his goal was to preach to 1,000 people. He said that all the time. I'm going to be a great preacher. I could call his name today. But I also could say about them that he is not preaching today. Pride went before fall. We need to recognize that God has that perfect plan, and we need to follow up with all our life. Sometimes we don't hear because we're just plain sorry or selfish. Sometimes we say, Lord, I hear you, but I will not go. Can I remind you of a man named Jonah? Jonah had different plans. God called Jonah to go be a witness. Jonah said, nope, Lord, I'm doing my own thing. And we find that Jonah ends up in the whale's belly before he had a change of heart. Simply today, listen to what the Spirit speaks and say, we will obey. Thank the Lord, Philip does. Verse 27 says this, and he arose and went. Can I tell you something about obedience? Obedience starts in the heart and mind, but must move to the hands and feet and mouth. Let me say that again. Obedience starts in the heart, but must move to the hands and feet and mouth. Again, sometimes we don't know exactly what God wants, but when we do, simply step out by faith. The second thing is, obedience is not a one-time deal. It's going to be important to see all through this passage that the Lord speaks, or their spirit speaks, or the angel speaks, and Philip takes a step. He speaks again, and Philip takes another step, and he speaks again, and he's steady taking those steps. I'm here to tell you, sometimes we get, we kind of rest on our laurels that we get saved. We say, Lord, I obeyed, and yet that's all we do. Or maybe you're here, and you've been serving for some time, and you say, Lord, I'm tired. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm telling you, you ought to obey. God sometimes changes our jobs, and he does, but he never changes the fact that we must obey his call, for he has a great plan for all that will. We must obey. I wonder, will we simply do that? Well, notice the divine appointment. I know that first point is kind of long. That divine appointments were scheduled, but secondly, the discourse that was shared. So again, verse 27, he arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Verse 29 says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. We find in verse 30, Philip ran thither and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I say any man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Verse 35 says, then Philip opened his mouth. And begin at the same scripture he preached in him, Jesus. Opened his mouth. God had led him to this opportunity. God had led him to this place. God had led him to this very man. And now it was this idea, will I do as God calls? He sees the opportunity, and he shares Jesus. His faithfulness is not just in action, but in words. Now, it was St. Francis of Assisi that really had some great thoughts about different things. And he had this little saying, preach the gospel and use words if necessary. Let me say that again. Preach the gospel and use words if necessary. That's a great idea in one sense, except it is not biblical. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We must live a life that honors God. We must live a life of faith. We must live a life that points to Christ. But then we must share from our mouth the good news. So Philip opens his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. Now there's a couple of thoughts I want you to get with this, because it's important about sharing. At this point, Philip begins to realize it's not about the masses that Jesus cares about. He does, but it's also about the one man. It's not about the multitudes, but it's about the one person that Christ loves. And so I hope you recognize that we're all important in the eyes of God, that God wants us to, yes, proclaim it to the masses, but find out one-on-one and simply share the good news. Then I think it's important to recognize the Ethiopian. I wonder, maybe this is his last chance. Maybe this is the last time he's coming to this area. And by chance or by divine opportunity, God lines this up. Or maybe God's going to use this to be a missionary to his country. It is said that Justin Martyr, one of the church early fathers, writing about this, he was a philosopher and a theologian, sees this and says, in his own words, that this man went back to Africa and became the first bishop there, and that he started a church and began to simply witness to his country. And so it is important for all this to take place. So I wonder, would you recognize today that the Lord is doing something in your life? He's either calling you for salvation or calling you to share the good news. He's either calling you to be saved or bring the message of the good news so that others can be saved. I wonder, will we simply be found faithful? Will we be obedient to the call? Will we recognize our divine appointments? Will we simply live out our faith before the Lord? He is calling us to do so. You say, I'm not real sure about this. I'm not real sure about sharing and witnessing. I'm a little bit nervous. Well, notice the second point I want you to understand. Not only the obedience of the servant, but now the open heart of the sinner. The open heart of the sinner. And so we need to take something from this, and that is, if the Lord sends you on a mission, if the Lord places something on your heart to do, be assured that the Lord is working behind the scenes to make something happen in the life of those that you witness to. You're either all going to plant a seed or harvest. That's the plan. And so we find that something's going to take place. Notice first, he was receptive to the word. Let me read verse 29 again. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join yourself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither, heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandeth what you read. Verse 31 says, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Let me again say, if God calls you to something, he's already gone before you to line things up. Look at this scenario. Here's a man just out in the middle of the desert, and Philip shows up. Here's a man that was a Jewish proselyte, probably coming back from a Jewish festival, that should have been on a spiritual high, and yet he was empty and hungry for something else. Here's a man that has a copy of God's word, which is unheard of, especially for a non-Israelite, and yet he has a copy of the word. And here he is reading Isaiah 53, the great chapter about this Messiah coming, reading aloud. Can I tell you, God lines all those up. He was receptive to that word. I wonder if we recognize that God wants us to simply be a faithful witness, knowing that people will be receptive. So many times we worry about rejection. We worry about those turning against us. We worry about those hating us. But I'm telling you, if God lays something on your heart, recognize there is a little bit of receptivity from those people in front of you. Now, I don't know what all he said, but I do know this. We get to Isaiah. I'm sure he began to speak about what Christ did, how Christ came, how Christ suffered for our sins, how that Christ died for our sins, how that Christ rose again and gave life to all those that call upon him. I'm sure he spoke about the Messiah in those ways that said he preached Jesus. And he finally comes to a point where I'm sure he says, you're a sinner and I'm a sinner. We were all sinners. And I like what Romans 6:23 says about this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, how good it is to recognize that God lines us up to share the good news with others. But notice, not only receptive, but he responded to the word. He responded to the word. And as they went their way, verse 36 says, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see here, water, see here's water. What does hinder me from being baptized? here's water. Evidently, Philip shared with him about the good news and about being obedient and about being baptized. We go back to Acts chapter 2. There was 3,000 got baptized in one day. And we recognize what baptism is. Baptism shows our faith. It is an act of obedience. God saves us, and we follow in believers' baptism. That's, matter of fact, that's what he says. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so one of those clear pictures is that this man truly was a believer in Christ, goes and is baptized. Let me remind you again, baptism is kind of like our wedding ring. The wedding ring is this idea that shows everyone else that I'm married. If I take the wedding ring off or never put it on, it doesn't mean I'm not married. But I'm telling you, there's a picture there that everybody sees that I am married to that woman right there. Amen. Baptism is that thing that starts off your walk with Christ that shows everyone. It is not the washing away of the filth of the sins, the Bible speaks about that, but this identification of you being buried with Christ and raising up to live a new Christ with a new life with him. And so that is the idea. And so he simply does those things. I'm reminded all this starts with obedience. That all this starts with the obedience of Philip and now will become this obedience of the eunuch. And this idea is we too must be obedient either to be saved or to share. So let me just take a side note real quick. What does it take to be an effective witness for Christ? Here's five quick things. One, you need an encounter with the Lord Jesus. You need something, which is the Holy Spirit, first to save you and then to send you, and he surely will. Secondly, you need an enthusiastic response. Philip ran to the chariot. Have you ever got a word from God and says you need to go witness, and you say, Lord, maybe tomorrow or the next day, there's a better time. It's crowded in here, Lord. I'm a little bit nervous. Maybe the next day. Not Philip. He had an enthusiastic response. He ran and shared. Third, there's an inquiry about where he was spiritually. He recognized something this man was doing, so he asked about what you're reading. And so today we may have a question like, where do you go to church, or where are you going to spend eternity, or what do you know about the Lord? And so you just inquire. Fourthly, you need to evangelize. Share with your mouth. Open your mouth. Share the good news. And lastly, for us to equip ourselves with the Bible, learn some Bible verses. How about Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You can read Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9, Romans 10:13, Romans 8:1. Learn the Roman road. Learn some Bible verses to share with others. Equip yourself that you may be able to do the will of God, and they will respond in some way. Well, here's the last thing I want to share with you. Not just the obedience of the servants, and the open heart of the sinner, but now the outward joy of the saved. The outward joy of the saved. Verse 39 says, when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. So we're going to find that there's going to be some great joy. One, there's the conversion of the eunuch. He's going to be dunked under the water. He's going to come out. Philip's going to be gone, and he is rejoicing. Now, I don't think he's rejoicing because the preacher's gone or the sermon's ended, amen. He's rejoicing because he's been transformed. He has a new life. He is a different person. Man, how good it is when we are transformed people, when we truly live for the Lord. Adrian Rogers said this, it will be a great day in America when people stop enduring religion and start enjoying their salvation. Let me read that again. It'll be a great day in America when people stop enduring religion and start enjoying their salvation. Salvation brings peace and purpose for life. It brings power for living and reminds us that we have a place prepared in heaven one day, that this world is not all there is. And so if things are not going right, we can look to the heavens and recognize man one day will stand with the Lord. This man went away rejoicing. He was excited about what took place in his life. But now notice this, not just the conversion of the eunuch, but the catching away of Philip. Again, verse 39, when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip. That word called is harpazo. It means to catch away. It's the same word we use for rapture. And so we find that Philip is snatched away. He is taken away. We don't know exactly what this looks like. All we know is that Peter or Philip is found in a different place. Verse 40 says, but Philip was found in Azotus, passing through, guess what he's doing? Preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. We find that no matter where he is preaching the gospel. He's been an instrument of the righteousness of God. He is sharing the good news. And so let me just end with this thought, that God is saving people and sending people to share the good news. I wonder, will we do that? I wonder, will we be found faithful to the calling of God? I wonder, will we simply be a people willing to go and share those things? Somebody wrote a song that said this, must I go in empty-handed, thus my dear Redeemer meet? Not one day of service give him, lay no trophy at his feet. Must I go in empty-handed, must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul would wish him to greet, must I empty-handed go? Hopefully this morning that you'll recognize that God has a divine appointment for you. One, to be saved, but also to share the good news. I hope this morning that you will recognize that God wants to send you, if you're a believer, to somebody else, to let them see and hear your faith. So this morning, I wonder, would you first commit to Christ? If you're here today and never said yes to the Lord above, he loves you and cares about you and wants you to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, the Bible says, but all to come to repentance. And so in the invitation time, why not say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive my sins. Come to life and save me. He surely will. But if you've done that, why not commit to sharing that with others? Why not commit with sharing your life when it comes to others with the good news, to declare what God has done in your life and how they can have the same salvation as you have? Commit today. And man, what a life you'll have as you honor the Lord above. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes just for a moment. Somebody wrote, God spoke to me today, and he said, rise up and go your way. Simply go where the Spirit leads, and I will show you the greatest needs. And as I went, it became so clear. It was my heart that he held so dear. My steps are the ones he wants to hold, and my life he makes and molds. I wonder what the Lord is saying to you. What special bidding is there to do? For some, maybe it has entered the waters. For others, to follow the preaching orders. For others, to teach and pray about sin. And for some, to simply let Jesus in. So, Lord, I ask, whatever the call may be, let us be found faithful always to thee. I wonder what you need to be faithful about today. We all have a call. God has a desire. I wonder, will we say yes to that? If you want to make that public this morning, why not walk down the aisle and say, Brother Paul, I need Jesus. Or Brother Paul, I've committed my life. Or Brother Paul, I want to join the church and serve here. Or Brother Paul, I need to pray. Whatever it is, be found faithful. Be found obedient. Be found in the will of God. And it will be the best thing ever in your life. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do. We thank you, Lord, for the examples of Stephen in chapter 7 and Philip in chapter 8, faithful people willing to serve and go. So, Lord, I pray that you would bless us to be like that we would not fear but simply be found faithful. Bless us as we simply do your will. I pray that you would give us the courage and the help that we need to make this possible. Bless the invitation. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.